the Glasgow Neuro Society, in association with SNI, or Surgical Neurology International, and SNI Digital, are happy to present the abstracts and discussion of the 10th anniversary Glasgow Neuro Society meeting held in November of 2022 in Glasgow, Scotland. Hassan Ismail is president of the Glasgow Neuro Society at that time. He's from the Wolfson School of Medicine at the University of Glasgow in Scotland and the United Kingdom. Faculty commentators are Liketh Elakandi, who's the consultant neurosurgeon at the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital in Glasgow, and Amy Davidson, a neurologist, also at the University of Glasgow, also at the Institute of Infection, Immunity, and Inflammation in Glasgow, Scotland. Other Glasgow Neuro hosts were Elizabeth Middleton, Vice President of Glasgow Neuro, and Attica Chowdhury, another Vice President of Glasgow Neuro.
Thank you. Mizuki Ueda, who's going to be talking to us about a comparison of Alzheimer's disease-indicated drugs on neurons generated from Alzheimer's disease patient-derived induced pluripotent stem cells. I'll hand over to yourself now.
Thank you for your introduction. My name is Mizuki Ueda, and I'm currently a second-year medical student at Newcastle University. So this research was conducted as part of my summer research internship at Professor Inoue's group at Kyoto University. Prior to my internship, Professor Inoue's group found that bromocriptine had an anti-amyloid beta effect on cortical neurons generated from familial Alzheimer's disease patients with mutation in the presenilin-1 gene. Since the mechanism of action of bromocriptine was not quite understood, my study aimed to compare the effect of bromocriptine and four other Alzheimer's indicated drugs on patients, patient-derived iPSCs using immunofluorescence staining. So what I first did was to culture iPSCs and differentiate them into cortical neurons. Then I introduced five Alzheimer's disease indicated drugs into the neurons. The three drugs, beta secretase inhibitor 4, semaglutide, and J&J, are already approved Alzheimer's disease drug. I additionally selected ergotamine, which was chosen because it has a similar chemical structure to bromocriptine. After the cortical neurons were differentiated, they were stained with 14 different primary antibodies, and their images were taken using a fluorescence microscope. These 14 primary antibodies either did not stain at all, only stained the cell bodies, only stained the neurites, or stained both of them. And there were three primary antibodies that I wanted to focus on, which were APH1A, BACE1, and presenilin-1, which showed different staining patterns in neurons treated with the drugs. So the key finding here is that all proteins with the different staining patterns are a component of either beta secretase or gamma secretase enzyme, which are proteins involved in the cleavage of amyloid precursor protein to form amyloid beta. So I concluded that bromocriptine may affect the proteins involved in amyloid beta production, similar to some of the already approved drugs. Please let me know if you have any questions about this.
Excellent. Thank you. That was such a great and eloquent summary of what is a really broad, you know, you've done a lot of work there, you know, to summarize it so succinctly in such a short amount of time, you know, is very clever. So when you were just, when you were talking about comparing the drugs and you picked ergotamine because it was similar to bromocriptine, did you say any trace, you know, with your theorizing that bromocriptine could be involved in the earlier stages, did ergotamine have a signal as well, or did it not have, you know, did it not pull the same?
So In the initial research that was done by Professor Inoue's lab, they tried a lot of drugs, and one of the drugs that also showed a similar effect was ergotamine. And also in my research, it was that ergotamine and bromocriptine tend to show a similar staining pattern. So I think that my choice that they may have a similar structure and very much for similar effect may be supported by the research.
And with what you've learned from this, you know, this is, you know, very good high throughput, very much the kind of study at this. How would you take it forward? So as a clinician, I'm always interested in the kind of bench to bedside approach. So what would be your next step? What would you think about going forward?
In terms of what I understood from here and how that would apply in clinical scenarios, it is that I found that it may be involved in amyloid beta production. And we think in terms of the amyloid beta hypothesis that it's like the production and the buildup that leads to the clinical manifestation. So if it is actually that the production is what is being targeted, then it means that we would have to detect Alzheimer's early and start this treatment early for it to actually be effective for Alzheimer's disease.
And do you have any, don't worry if you don't have an answer to this, but do you have any ways that you, you know, like early detection of Alzheimer's, do you mean like doing kind of PET scans, or is there a kind of a clinical way that you could look for this? Do we have one just now? You know, is that something we need to think about? You know, how are we going to find these early detections?
Don't worry if you can't answer. Yeah. I don't fully understand. No, all the ways, but I understand there are some new ways that they're doing, they're trying to detect it earlier and also find genetic predispositions that increases the risk. So that might be one way that we could detect this early, but I would like to know more about it.
That would be interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Doing a genetic profile, and then you could pick out people at risk using family histories, and then classifying them genetically, and then considering drugs like bromocriptine. And would you have any concerns about bromocriptine, the side effects? You know, would you be quite happy to have people on it long term? Worried about anything?
I think one of the benefits of bromocriptine is that it's an already approved drug by the FDA and already used for things like Parkinson's. So there's lots of data that we can use to see who would be more at risk for using this drug. So I think that is a great benefit for trying drugs that are already approved.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you very much for talking through your research. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss, or?
One thing I would like to add that is that here, since I wanted to try many different primary antibodies, each of the samples were quite small. So I would like to expand this by just focusing on the primary antibodies that show the different staining pattern and increase the sample size and see whether they just happen to be that way in this time or it's actually something that's replicatable.
Brilliant. That's good. It's always good to have a thought about how you tweak the research and how to move on to that. So that's a really good thing to be able to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was fantastic. And I guess I've got a quick question. What's next, I guess, for yourself? Are you continuing work in this? Are you going to still stay with the lab and try to take it forward? Or what are you up to now?
Okay. Thank you for your question. I really enjoyed this experience. So I got more interested in like doing research. And what I'm currently thinking of now is that I learned immunofluorescence staining, which is a thing that can be used in many ways, but I'm also interested in things like Western blotting and things like CRISPR-Cas9. And I'm discussing some summer projects that I can learn some new skills and consider what I would like to do in like master's and future research.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And that concludes our first panel discussion.
Hi, everyone.
We hope you enjoy these presentations. The information provided in this program is for informational purposes and is not intended for use as diagnosis or treatment of a health problem or as a substitute for consulting a licensed medical profession. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to attain CME credit. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Send your questions or comments to ausman@snidigital.org. This program has been supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation, owner of SNI and SNI Digital, and the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the Leading Gen television series, Silent Majority Speaks and Role Models, and the new Medical News Network. Thank you.